Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Metroplex. Ruben is fist pumping. Not quite time for that, but do what you want because we are out on the road. Merido Golf Course. It is the Live Golf Championship. It's a pretty sick setup inside. I felt like I was running into a player or two. They're all going in there, getting their breakfast. I went inside the locker room in the clubhouse. I saw Tolo Chris on the way in, and we are set up out here in Carrollton with Sean, RJ, and Bobby.
Now, when you say you felt like you ran into players, were you saying they just looked like golfers? But you weren't sure.
Yeah, they look like RJs. They could have been wannabes.
Could have been anybody.
Like Choppy out here. But I assume that they were golfers and very rich and important people.
Do you think that's part of RJ's thought process here? He wanted to show up here just so like people go, I think that might be somebody famous, and that he'd get recognized like that.
Yeah,
I think that was.
Because it is. It's a matching outfit, right? It's the Bogey Bros got the same shirt as the hat. Right, so like it's like oh, it's a fit. Somebody put him in this, right? Somebody styled him in this today.
You got a stylist,
absolutely. So that's what it is.
We are going to preview the Ravens and the Cowboys in depth with Tony Lombardi, the guy who I wrote for back in the day.
Whoa.
Really special surprise. I wasn't going to tell you till right now this morning
with the Ravens Edge.
Russell Street Report.
Ravens Edge. Yes. So he's kind of a former boss. Good friend, but he's been covering the Ravens for years.
We're gonna have to pull up some stuff from the archives and have him grade your writing.
He's not gonna take any bait. He's gonna praise me. I let him go to my parents' bed and breakfast for free all the time. He ain't gonna say nothing, just like Brian Billick. So a couple quick Ravens notes, as we're all really worried. I am about the Cowboys in this matchup. This is Ryan Clark on ESPN saying, "Hey man, here's what I would do against Lamar and this offense because I'm not worried about the wideouts."
The two wide receivers on the field, and no disrespect to Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman, I ain't scared.
Not even a right? Zay yet?
I'm not scared on the outside. If I just got to be man-to-man, one-on-one at this point, it's going to count on you beating me, right? If you're Bateman or Flowers and Lamar Jackson making the perfect pass, I live with that. If Derrick Henry's back there and I understand I need to stack the box against him, it's a personnel issue as well.
So the Ravens offense is ranked number one in total yards after 2 weeks. They got 417 a game. Lamar's rushing for 83 yards a game. And his QB rating is 86.5. He has thrown a pick in each of the first two losses. But man, taking some shots. I'm terrified of Zay Flowers. I think Zay Flowers is a monster. He leads the team with 13 catches. But the surprise contributor, Isaiah Likely. He is the team leader in receiving yards with a 137.
How likely was that before the season? Coastal Carolina guy. I got to know him a little bit before the draft a couple years ago.
Well.
He's definitely like a seam guy. He was a guy that the Cowboys liked a lot when he was coming out, and somebody that they kind of had their eyes on. I think that was the Ferguson draft year. So he was in that mix of tight ends that they were interested in looking at. But Isaiah Likely is definitely somebody who I mean, he can get up the seam. He can stress them between the numbers and cause problems.
I saw a Cowboy fan getting ticked in the autograph signing area.
Oh, my God.
He got ticked off of Micah Parsons, calling him a loser and everything. Did you see the video?
I did. Micah was not the loser. You're an adult, man. Like, it's not you don't get upset when the guy doesn't want to sign your jersey, okay? Because as an adult, there's two things that you want to do with an autograph. One is sell it. Okay, and that's not why Mike is there.
And what's the other one?
The other one is to show off to your friends, like, mm-hmm. or act cool. It's an autograph, man. Like, he just got done losing a football game by 40.
But is that so? Like, I see the video picks up there, and they say somebody was mad because he didn't get an autograph. But was that? I would have taken that video just by the context that he was just yelling at Mike for, like, what a trash game that was just played, less than the autograph.
No, he was ticked off at the autograph. He called him like a loser or something.
That was the narrative that was put out there on social media, Bobby, and as far as I'm concerned, that's the correct narrative.
Well, there's
if it's on social media, it's true.
There's a Ravens fan that did the same thing, not happy about Marlon Humphrey and the podcast that he does.
Can you stay on that podcast, bro? You get more after your podcast than you're doing the fan.
I play
every time
softball,
I turn around, 44, 44. Come on, bro, you the best, bro. Be my example. Oh, my. Be my example, bro. Keep on getting on the podcast like, oh, yeah. Devontae Adams, yeah, he cooked me today. No.
Devontae, he cooked today. Stay off the podcast. So we'll get more into the Ravens and the Cowboys coming up at 7:20. But Marlon Humphrey is hearing it from the flock.
The flock of the Ravens.
Squaw.
The squaw.
The Ravens' edge. The Carolina Panthers say, of course, they're liars.
Yes,
we know that in the last
are.
48 hours. They say they are not considering trading the benched Bryce Young. And, Choppy, that took you down a young quarterback rabbit hole.
It did. It did. A couple of things. One is the six quarterbacks taken in the first round of this year's draft. Now, granted, Penix hasn't played, McCarthy hasn't played, and Drake May hasn't played, so really just three. Through 2 weeks, they've thrown a combined zero touchdown passes.
Wow.
You know, this sport is just going to be unwatchable in about 5 years with the quarterback play.
Mark that.
It just is.
Receipts.
Now, we're still going to watch it, right, because we watched it when it was unwatchable in the 80s, and it was just 3 yards of the cloud of
yeah,
dust.
Yeah, when it was Joe Montana and Dan Marino and those all
yeah, yeah, I know. John Elway with an adjusted net yards per attempt lower than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, John Elway, bad player, but yeah.
Now, like, these guys come in more ready than any generation of quarterback that has ever lived. It's not even close. These guys have been playing the position exclusively without, like, doing any other sport. They've been specializing in this basically since they were seven. With 7-on-7 and everything, but they have no idea how to play the position. J.J. McCarthy might be the only one who knows how to do it, and Penix. Zero TD passes through two games, QBRs of 46, 35, and 24. And the last two overall number one picks, so Caleb and Bryce, have a combined QBR of 33.
Ew.
This year. Like, that is a problem. And it brought me back to this Tom Brady clip that I know y'all play when I was out,
yep.
when he was on with Stephen A. Smith on his podcast. But he was talking about quarterbacks and how they're prepared and developed today versus 20, 25, 35 years ago.
There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program. You're learning a playbook. And the program is ultimately, like in Michigan, for me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years, I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England, and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason in training camp trying to be a little bit better than next year. But I think what happens is it discourages the coaches from going to deep levels because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level, so they're just going to teach them where they're at.
So, look, I He's saying they're learning systems. They're not learning how to play the game in any system. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do believe that the worst thing you can do for the development of quarterback, and this is going to sound crazy, is to give them an elite offensive mind.
Like the way McVay had Goff, and a lot of people felt like Goff wasn't able to
develop because he wasn't thinking on his own, right? Yeah. He was in his ear until 15 seconds telling him what to do. You're creating these rote quarterbacks.
Rote?
Like mechanical, like just habitual. They don't know the game. And you get guys like Sean Payton who doesn't want their quarterbacks audibling. The play is the play, run the play. Well, that's not really like how Brady did it or Manning or Elway or Marino or Montana. You can't just run the play because whatever play they call in, when Sean Payton calls a play in, he has no idea what look the defense is going to give him. It's impossible to know. I mean, you can know the person, like the people who are in there, but you don't know what they're going to do. And do you think if Kyle Shanahan had Tom Brady or Peyton Manning that he would let them call the game? Or would he be calling the plays himself the way he's doing? And I think that is part of the lack of the development of these quarterbacks going into is that we're I don't even want to say coddling, we're just not allowing them to figure the game out for themselves, and you're just calling the play in or you're just having them learn just this system. And that's a problem.
I mean, let's look at the quarterbacks that we're talking about here that have played so far that have the awful numbers that they do. Like Bo Nix was a guy who was like a late push as a first round player.
Very late, yeah, absolutely.
And so like I mean, he was always going to be the guy that had probably the most questions about how he was going to be able to succeed. Jaden Daniels is still a run first like. Athlete type of quarterback. It's not like he got to where he was because it's like, man, look at what a great passer he is. And then you've got Caleb who's, you know, getting pressured. I think honestly the three best pure quarterbacks out of the six that were drafted are the three who haven't played yet. Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix.
In the last 10 games, the Carolina Panthers have led for only 10 seconds.
Oh!
And Stephen A. is now throwing Bryce Young into Jamarcus Russell.
Ooh.
Territory, and Mel Kiper went off the other day, cut six pay about how it's the Panthers organization to blame.
Then you go into this year, you change everything because CJ Stroud's doing so well in Houston. We got to destroy this thing. We got to blow it up and start over because, you know, CJ Stroud's doing so great in Houston. These coaches aren't getting it done. So we bring in an offensive coach who was with Baker and others, right? Bring in a new pass game coordinator, new quarterback coach for Bryce Young. Then we don't play him in the preseason. We play him one series in the final preseason game against the AOGs. None of those guys are playing for Buffalo, by the way. They went one series down the field and they're rah, rah. Great. We got it. We accomplished everything we wanted to. I'll give you a little note. C.J. Stroud played in two preseason games this year. Okay, he played four. Derek Carr played in two preseason games. Why? Because Clint Kubiak was coming in with a new offense, and Derek Carr is a veteran, played in two preseason games. Bryce Young played one series of a final preseason game against the nobodies on defense for the Buffalo Bills. Does that make sense to you? When in two games in, we're saying he can't play. Yes, his confidence was shattered, right? Yes, he does need to sit behind Andy Dalton for a little bit, but the blame this on Bryce Young is ridiculous. This is the blame here goes to the organization, the owner.
The restaurant that jerk David Tepper went in and took off the guy's hat because they're like, let the GM and coach draft the players, not you. And Tepper walked in there and tried to intimidate them. They're at it again. They have a sign with the quarterback records compared to Bryce Young's. Mayfield 2-0, Darnold 2-0, Rule 3-0, Young 0-2. So that restaurant, Dilworth Neighborhood Grill, is at it again.
Dilworth.
So that's fantastic. I love that.
I think when you talk to people around the league, the sentiment is Carolina is extremely toxic right now. And that's a really difficult place for anybody to have a lot of success.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people are taking note of the fact that why is it clicking for Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield right now after it looked so helpless there in Carolina?
Well, to be fair, it didn't click for Sam Darnold anywhere. Not just Carolina, but let me ask you this.
But I mean, we're talking about the Jets, which is equally as toxic.
But were we not saying the same thing about Houston 2 years, 18 months ago? How toxic it was. They had the Easterby, they had McNair, they had Casario was like a joke of a GM, and now all of a sudden they're a great roster, and everything is great, and it's all because of CJ Stroud.
But they had showed that they'd never had the questions about development. Like, right? Like, they developed Deshaun Watson. and Deshaun Watson had success. Then as soon as they get C.J. Stroud, he develops. Like, it wasn't a talent development question. Jets and Panthers have consistently had questions about, like, what are you doing? What are you messing up?
Speaking of young quarterbacks, cut 15, pay. I know everyone loved this clip, but there is something I noticed about it. This was C.J. Stroud after the Bears versus the Armpit, giving Caleb Williams some advice after the game ended.
Good job out there,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah,
hey,
keep going.
Stop taking those hits.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Hey,
yeah.
Learn from those mistakes, and everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yeah.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
This is a overreaction, look into take by me. Like Caleb was like trying to pull away three separate times in that. Like, okay, man, like, let me go. Like, he looked like he didn't want a lot of that conversation.
I noticed two things here.
Two things.
One, total respect here. Did you notice Caleb gave the millennial female stank face? Okay.
What is that? Show it on fan
cam. Did he do something feminine?
He did the lower lip. I can't do it.
Yeah.
They got to get a good frown on it. He gave that. It's fantastic. I'm a big fan of that. Second, that is such an adult.
He's the guy.
Mature thing. For C.J. Stroud to say, not anything about the football.
Yep.
Stop taking hits.
Don't take those hits.
Like, that is a
He's
gut.
The man. I just love him personally.
He's going to play forever.
I love him personally. He gave it to Micah on the couch. He obviously does it out there on the field. God, Bob. Talking trash, did he?
Gave it to Micah on the couch. Yeah.
Bet he did.
The casting couch.
Talk to one of my former bosses and preview Cowboys Ravens with these dirt bags next during the commercial free expressway on Sean and RJ.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are commercial free up until 8 o'clock here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt with Cowboys Ravens Sunday on this radio station. Babe Laufenberg, Cowboys color analyst, will join us at 8:40. But it's always a treat when we're able to bring on my good buddy from back in Baltimore. He is Tony Lombardi from the Russell Street Report on DFW Sports Station. Good morning, brother. How are you?
It's been a minute, Sean. I'm great. How are you?
We're doing okay. I think we're doing a little bit better than you guys. Is it panic time? Are they panicking there in Baltimore?
There are people, fans, you know, on the your sister station here, 105.7, the Fan. There are people calling for John Harbaugh's head already. So, yeah, there's panic amongst the fan base. I don't know that that's settled in with the team yet.
But just to be clear, there's, like, no hot seat talk. Like, not talk, but reality to that, right?
Well, you know, when the Ravens lost the AFC Championship game last year at home to the Chiefs in a game that was very winnable, they got away from what they do well, and that's running the football. They threw the ball over the place with limited success. And at that point, people were really on John Harbaugh, and they had this guy, Mike McDonald, sitting in the wings, and there's a lot of fans that wanted Steve Bisciotti to make the move to go younger with Mike McDonald, this up-and-coming star head coach who's now in Seattle. So since that loss, there's been a bad taste in the collective mouth of Ravens fans, and this 0-2 start certainly hasn't helped.
Tony, I put, you know, kind of Lamar and Dak in a similar category of polarizing and can't get over the playoff hump. Obviously, the Ravens with more playoff success than the Cowboys. But our knock on Lamar has been like, okay, you can do it in the regular season, you can run around, but then when playoff football comes, are you going to be able to throw to win? Has that been the next step that Ravens fans have been waiting for with Lamar, and where is he in that step?
Well, the Ravens have always been a team that plays good defense and is predicated upon a run-first offense to set up the pass. But they need to get the running game on track. But as a passer, a thrower of the football, I think Lamar has really struggled on passes that are beyond 20 yards. His accuracy has really improved over the last couple of years. And without play action to try to get some one-on-one matchups, they've really struggled to move the ball offensively. It's almost like a basketball player, Sean, where, you know, he's really strong going to the right, so what do you do as a defender? You force him to his left. And I think that's what teams do against Lamar in the playoffs. They say, come and beat us with your arm because we don't think you can. And I think the proof lies in the pudding, and the pudding suggests that he can't beat you with his arm. So until proven otherwise, he's got to get that monkey off his back, and he's got to do it in the playoffs because no one's going to believe him in the regular season. They already expect him to be, you know, a great player in the regular season. He's a two-time MVP after just, you know, what, 7 years in the league. So, yeah, he's got something to prove, and so do the Ravens collectively.
Is it a little bit of a, you know, a panicked reaction, though, there in Baltimore? Because when you look at it, you just say, look, they were right on the edge of beating the Chiefs in the opening game, and they really should have won this game against the Raiders. They just kind of blew it down the stretch. But is there a thought that, like, hey, these are really thin margins we're talking about? This is very close to being 2-0.
Yeah, there is that feeling, too, because if you look at those two games, you know, you got Isaiah Likely just misses a potentially game-winning touchdown to end it against Kansas City on Thursday Night Football, and then you've got the way they melted down in the fourth quarter against the Raiders, having a 10-point lead with, I think, like 11 minutes to go in the game. So yeah, there's a sense of panic in that regard. But I think that the team, most importantly, thinks that they're really close. And I think that the panic is mostly, like I said, with the fan base. And I think part of that panic comes from the way the Baltimore Orioles are crumbling, and you've got this fan mindset that, oh, no, here we go again with the Ravens. So I think that's where the panic sets in. I don't feel that from the coaching staff or the players, but I do feel it in the fan base.
Tony Lombardi from the Russell Street Report in Baltimore joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline on the home of the Cowboys. A lot of Cowboy fans wanted Derrick Henry. We asked Jerry Jones about it the other day. How has Derrick Henry worked out so far there?
Well, I think given game situations, they haven't gotten themselves in a spot where they can just grind it out, take the air out of the football, and let Henry do what he does well. I think the games have gotten away from the Ravens and forced them into throwing the football. They've got some real offensive line problems on the right side. You know, they've drafted Roger Rosengarten in the second round out of Washington to take over that spot. He played decently against Max Crosby this past Sunday, but Daniel Falele is playing right guard, and he's just an absolute mess. Michael Parsons has to be salivating right now looking at that game tape, because if they stunt on that side, I'm going to say my prayers for Lamar Jackson, because if they get in situations where they're, you know, second and third and long, it could be a long day for the Ravens. But, you know, looking at the Cowboys and the way they defended the run against the Saints, you know, I think they'll get this thing cranked up this week, and most people expect Derrick Henry to see like 20-plus carries this week.
How did you feel about the Henry signing when it first happened, 2 for 16 in this NFL world of don't pay the running back?
I thought it was a good match between him and Lamar Jackson, and particularly the way the AFC Championship game ended. I don't think that the Ravens hand the ball off four times to running backs in the AFC Championship game if Derrick Henry's back there, because the opportunities were there to run the football. They chose not to. But I think here's the fatal flaw in the Derrick Henry signing. It's not so much his signing, the fact that they were willing to let three starters on the offensive line go and go with this youth movement. You know, why invest that much money in a running back who's 30 years old if you're not going to protect him up front? And that just, to me, is a waste of salary cap resources. So I think they're hoping that this offensive line gels, but there's been no sign of that so far.
Tony, the Ravens have usually been a very tough football team, in our opinion, my opinion. I'll speak for myself. The Cowboys are not a very tough football team. They'll fold up, and they can't defend the run. The Saints just proved that again. Are the Ravens that typical tough football team this year who's going to out-physical you and beat you up?
I think they can with their defensive front seven. The secondary is very talented, but that they haven't played well. And, you know, this is a team that has given up more fourth-quarter leads than anybody else in the NFL over the course of the past few years. And so when you take toughness or you put toughness into the equation, that really isn't indicative of a tough team, the ones that give up, you know, big fourth-quarter leads. It just doesn't happen with tough teams. So I think the Ravens' toughness is largely rested on the reputation that they've built over the years. But right now, this is a defense that has a new defensive coordinator. They lost three key defensive assistant coaches in the offseason. And right now, they're trying to find themselves. Zach Gore, the defensive coordinator, has never made play calls in his life until this season. And I think he's feeling his way. And right now, I think he's got his hands full against the Dallas Cowboys passing offense, because right now the Ravens are ranked 32nd against the pass.
Ooh.
Tony Lombardi joining us here on 105 through the Fan. Hey, I want to ask you one more thing on Lamar. Has he lost any of that athleticism at all? Like, can you see any signs of that happening?
If you had asked me that question last year, I would have said yes, because he intentionally put on some weight to absorb some tackling. But this year he's slimmed down. He's down to, I think, like 205, and he looks like the rookie that he was. You know, and so he does look fast. He looks, you know, fit, and he throws the football well, just not with a lot of accuracy beyond 20 yards. But I think you'll see a guy that you probably saw more of during the early years of Lamar in Baltimore than you saw last year.
How much do you you talk about the front seven there for Baltimore, and specifically, I know Owe has looked really good early on in the season and the kind of pressure that they can bring. How much of do you expect Baltimore, I guess, to kind of like bring the house and really challenge some of this young offensive line that the Cowboys have in place right now?
The Ravens really haven't blitzed a lot this year, and I don't know if it's Zach Gore just feeling his way through this or what, but last year they had they had a lot of created schematic pressure that they would bring, and Kyle Hamilton was a big part of that. They bring slot corners off the edge and bring down quarterbacks, so they throw you a lot of different looks. But this year they haven't done that, and I think that's just part of a new defensive coordinator trying to, you know, get his arms around things. So they may change things this week. I don't know, but they're going to have to do something different if they want to, you know, control this game and you know, get from being the 32nd ranked passing defense in the league.
Is Justin Tucker finally mortal?
Yeah, he's showing signs of that, Sean. I mean, he's I think one of seven in his last seven kicks of 50 yards plus.
Oof.
So it's almost like it's like a golfer. Things get in your head. I think it's in his head. You know, he was asked this week about his struggles from 50 plus, and he basically said he didn't really want to address that question because he didn't want it to be a thing that he's thinking about. But I think just by that answer, he's thinking about it.
All right, so I got a question for you here, Tony. We got the. I want you to grade this introduction to an article right here. Okay, as an editor, liar, fraud, phony. No, this isn't a recap of my girlfriend cheating on me. It's a preview of the 2007 draft. How do you think of that hook to pull somebody in for an article on the Russell Street Report? If somebody wrote that, what would you think?
It sounds like something Sean would have written years ago.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Probably got the most hits on your website, too. Ottawa, they're trying to bust my balls over my writing career, Tony.
I would never do that, Sean. I chased you out of Maryland, I think.
I chased you out.
No, Jerry Coleman did that idiot.
Whoa.
He almost said something else.
Nestor Aparicio, Jerry Coleman, all those fools out there in Baltimore. But hopefully they don't have too much of a voice anymore.
None of them are on the air anymore.
Yes.
There you go.
See? I knew it. Hey, brother, good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Have you already made your pick, by the way? Do you have a strong feeling about this?
I don't have a strong feeling, but I just can't see the Ravens dropping to 0-3 on the season. I think it's going to be a shootout in Dallas. And
oh, wow.
I think the Ravens hold on at the end. But, you know, I'm thinking maybe something along the lines of 38-35, something along those lines.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
The man, Tony Lombardi, from the Russell Street Report on the D&M Leasing Hotline.
That would...
What's the over-under?
48.5.
Are you 2 for 2 on the over-unders?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I had over and over. Yeah, so over on both.
How are you feeling about that? Because I was thinking last night, like, way under. But I was wrong on week one. I can't remember week two.
Week two was 46.5.
Yeah, I can't
remember. And they blew by that, obviously. Man, I don't know about this one. This is weird because I can see the Ravens wanting to slow it down, having just a muddy, disgusting game.
I'm thinking like 23-20.
I was kind of in that 24-22, 21, whatever.
Bob, you have any feeling on high scoring or slow slugfest?
I just don't see Dallas right now the way their offense has looked scoring 35 points. And I mean, Baltimore has... move the ball well, like they're number one in the league in yards, like you had mentioned earlier. But I think this will be one where Baltimore probably gets up early and then, like he talks about, tries to settle into, all right, let's lean on Derrick Henry and just pound this the rest of the way.
Get out your stopwatches because we may have a new nominee for the Frozen Syrup Hall of Fame of questions being asked here on 105.3 The Fan. Eric Chiafalo was our first Hall of Fame nominee.
Is that what we're calling it, the Frozen Syrup Hall of Fame?
We can do
it.
What else do you want?
That's solid.
We can do something else. Stuck Hourglass, Frozen Syrup, S running uphill. Bobby Belton followed in the footsteps of Eric.
I'm like an art monk in this Hall of Fame, though. I don't really deserve to be in there.
You're just a volume guy.
Mine was like half the time of Chia Follows.
All right, what is the length on air? Well, we'll listen to it and we'll try to guess
Eric's
whether
length.
You're dirty. Mike on the couch, Eric's length. This is Fred Davis on the Get Right with his question to Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
All right, Nick, you know, one thing I've been kind of harping at, and I said this even after the Cleveland game, and, you know, as you know, you, I mean, you want to say they look dominant, but then, of course, that second half left a lot to be desired, 49 total yards. And when you look at this offense through two games, I mean, you've had a, you've had two fluky touchdowns, like if we're really being honest about it, right? I mean, okay, you had the Brandon Cooks. That was a good drive. And then, you know, Dak saw something at the line of scrimmage. Boom, you got Brandon Cooks, and let's call it what it is. You know, Saints miss what should have been an easy tackle, and CeeDee does what CeeDee does and takes it to the house. Otherwise, you know, again, you've had no real major offense production. You certainly have done zero in the red zone. Who's this playmaker outside of CeeDee as this season goes on? Because one thing, you know, CA and I have talked about is this, bro, you know, through the first 2 weeks is, you know, you're going to see, and what we saw yesterday was what? Okay, you saw a team say, all right, we're going to take Mike out of the picture. Suddenly a defense is going to say, you know what, we're going to take CeeDee out of the picture. Who's going to be that playmaker? Who can be that guy? And you've got a Jalen Tolbert who had maybe the quietest 6 of 82 I think I've ever seen. Why are we not going to see more out of Jalen? And or are we going to see more out of Jalen? How do we put him more in space? How is it that a guy like a Mike McCarthy, who, again, who's been around this game a long time, and yet we just saw Clint Kubiak coach circles around him offensively yesterday?
All right,
that's the end of the expressway.
Oh, my gosh. At first, I was going to say, all right, the difference between him and Eric, he's not asking, like, 7 questions. He's just talking it out, giving his opinion, observations, but then we got hit with the flurry.
Oh, there was all kinds of stats thrown in there and everything.
All right, so now you have to guess. Eric's or Fred's longer?
Fred's is definitely longer.
Definitely?
Definitely.
Choppy?
I don't know, but definitely. I would say it's probably 3 seconds longer.
All right, let's just hear Eric's because it never gets old. Let's do Bobby a favor and check out Eric's length.
You know, one of the things, Steven, I think most fans are, you know, really curious about, not just with the Cowboys, but really across the league, it's one thing that fans and people like to talk about is just, you know, what the process is of making these in-game decisions in the moment. And it always really ends up falling back onto the plate of the head coach ultimately. But the process involved, how many people are involved in these decisions? For example, Greg Zuerlein, 59-yard field goal. Some people would say, hey, maybe you should go for it there or whatever it may be. Or calling a timeout or, you know, any type of in-game, in-the-moment decision. And I'm curious kind of what is the process like? Ultimately, when it's in that moment, is it really just Mike McCarthy deciding for himself kind of based on the knowledge he has in lead-up or whatever it is? Just kind of a gut decision for him, or are there people in his ear saying, hey, we should probably kick the field goal here, or hey, we should call the timeout here? What is it in-game, the process, like when it comes to making those sort of game management decisions?
Well, you covered a lot of territory there.
All right, did Nick Harris give any similar type response, like, or did he just go right into the answer?
He just went right into the answer. I was hoping for something like, oh, that was a long question, Fred, but no, he just went right into the answer.
Fred's is definitely longer.
Fred's is longer, without question.
What are the times, Pepe?
Fred's is 1 minute and 22 seconds.
That's way longer than Eric's.
Eric Chiafalo's is 59 seconds.
Oh, yeah. That's a blow-by.
And Bobby's?
Bobby's was 45 seconds.
Oh, so
Jerry.
The smallest, of course. Yeah. Smallest
very
link.
Small. Very small. Very, very small.
We are at Merido Golf Course. It is an awesome setup out here for the LIV Championship in Carrollton with Sean RJ and the man running the neighborhood watch, Bobby Belt. Hit it.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
Yeah, thank you, Dale Hansen. This is the Neighborhood Watch.
You hear Dale yesterday on social medias?
I did not. What did Dale Hansen do yesterday?
He did a, it's like WFA.
Was he trying
like
to get on Ellen again?
No, it was like their 75th birthday or whatever. And he was like, oh, my favorite memory at
his or theirs?
It's their set. Oh. I was there for more than half their life. I don't know. I hadn't seen Dale in a while.
I like being around Dale in person the 3 times I have.
I'm not a big Dale fan. So our Facebook community group post of the week comes from Citizens of Irving News.
Oh, baby.
And this one caused quite a stir. This generated several angry comments. So here's the post. I never had any major issues with Irving PD, but today really surprised me. I got rear-ended. Damage wasn't too bad, but got rear-ended by a kid.
Was it by Bobby? Oh, a kid.
This kid had no driver's license or insurance. Called the police to get a police report, got the info I needed. Kid's family came by to drive the car away. After all this, the cop didn't ticket the kid for no driver's license or insurance. They just went off their merry way. No accountability. Great job, Irving Police Department. So this got a lot of angry responses to the point that the admins of the page had to turn off commenting. But it wasn't the same angry comment. Like, it was anger on both sides, but it was split. So you had some people who said, you're absolutely right. This is an outrage. I'm with you on this. And then there were others who said, you're a total loser. What do you care, like, if the kid got ticketed or not? You got your – in fact, here are some of the comments. What kind of a jerk is mad someone didn't get a ticket? You got what you needed to file your claim, then put in an application at Irving PD so you can do their job for them.
Hmm.
Somebody else says, how's that an issue? Better yet, how's that your issue? Irving PD has the ability to use discretion, and you got what they owed you, a police report. Just because they didn't do it right then and there does not mean there will be no accountability. But then there were others who said, yep, I had a man drive his whole truck into my apartment. Nothing happened. Way to go, Irving Police. Somebody else says, unfortunately, it's been the same for years. People with insurance have to claim with their insurance company, and the people without get off with no problems at all. So what's the reasonable expectation here? Is this guy right to be peeved, or is he worrying about something that ultimately should be of no concern to him?
And the damage was what?
Minimal. He got rear-ended, a little bumper damage.
And the person who rear-ended him had no insurance?
No insurance, no driver's license.
Oh, you got to ticket that, right? What's the point? Now, I don't.
What do you get out of them being ticketed?
I get nothing. So
that's the crux of the argument.
I would not write a letter.
Yeah, but would you be mad about it?
I would be mad about it from the standpoint.
Would you not care as long as your stuff got taken care of?
I would be mad about it from the standpoint of, why am I paying for those things if somebody else isn't?
It's kind of like a government conversation.
Right. Yeah. It's like, why am I paying for that if they can.
Yeah.
Do without it and then get off without a penalty.
Yeah.
That's what my issue would be. I wouldn't write a letter about it, though, because I don't write letters. I don't post them.
You don't go on Facebook groups and make comments?
I make snide remarks on other people's comments to try to stir up arguments within the group message.
To me, I understand your point, and I agree with it. I don't disagree with it. It comes down to the damage. If someone drives their vehicle through my house, and even though my house is getting repaired or whatever, I want you to get punished for that.
Yeah.
You know, something serious like that. You almost clipped me on the road because you're drunk driving. I want you to get punished for that. If it's this, I don't care.
Yeah, Jason Michaels, big fan of Meat Church, one of our big tollers. He commented on the Facebook when I posted this last night. He said, sounds like someone needs to call the Frankels. You can call Frankel and Frankel. There's a comment here from...
You should work here, Jason. You do more than us. Well, I won't say who.
You guys can guess. There is a comment here from Steven on the Facebook page. He says, as an officer, I'll start with, why does he care so much? Is it accountability or is he just being a hater? Your uninsured motorist insurance will cover you, but what about the kid? His front-end damage will be much more expensive and run into thousands most likely. With no insurance, that is all out of pocket, and is the real lesson here not some $75 ticket? Officer discretion means he considers the totality of the incident and what he feels is most necessary response. You cannot judge the officer without knowing everything he knows. And is there an argument for that, too, that the officer probably looks at it and goes, like, there's no insurance here, so they're going to have to pay for this all out of pocket, and that's punishment enough? Learn his lessons. Parents are probably going to crack down. He doesn't need a $75 ticket on top of that. I don't think that that's necessarily a bad response to it. Next,
what would Miami-Dade have done? Move on.
Well, I mean, they probably would have found cocaine in the car. All right, so this was an interesting post that I saw yesterday. Jessica Long had alerted me to this. And thank you to the folks over on Facebook. I posted in a couple of the Facebook community groups last week. And I was like, hey, if you guys see some stories, I appreciate this. We use this on 105 Through the Fan. Appreciate. And a lot of people have started tagging me in just different community stories and like that. So Jessica Long tagged me in this from the This Is Mesquite group. And I thought she was tagging me in it for something totally different than what it ended up being. So if you're a fan of peaches, Mesquite might be the city for you in the next 2 to 4 years.
I love peaches.
So
I've been trying to barbecue a ton with peaches.
So recently.
Really?
Yeah, Myron Mixon.
So last night, Kristen had a salad at Cowboys Club when I was at the Cowboys Crosstalk. They have salad with peaches in it. Have you ever heard of that? Like peaches and salad? I've never heard
apples.
Of that. I've heard of apples and like cranberries, but I've never heard of peaches.
Were they like peaches wet peaches?
I don't know. She didn't order it, but she saw it on the menu and she was just like,
strawberries.
That's odd.
I could eat a peach for hours.
So Keep Mesquite Beautiful was handing out free peach trees on Wednesday.
The whole tree?
And, yeah. So I asked them. I was like, I DM'd them. I was like, how many did you give away? They said it was 300 trees, which after I Googled how much fruit peach trees yield and how long it takes for them to bear fruit, we might be looking at 30,000 to 45,000 pounds of peaches on the streets of Mesquite here in the next few years.
Amanda said last night, chicken and alligator dropped on a highway around here. Like out of a alligator,
like
chicken pieces.
Oh my god!
I have no idea. Just maybe.
What's your thoughts on roadkill?
It's dead.
It's nasty.
Like, but like, what? How long does it have to be on the road for before you pick it? Well, you won't pick it up and eat it.
What is it?
I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't know.
I mean, is it a cow? Like a fresh cow?
Oh yeah,
like a Wagyu cow.
Let's say half a rack. The cow, half the cow. Okay. Right, the whole thing just falls in the road.
No, I can't butcher. I'm too soft.
What if it's a cat or a dog?
I can't even bait a hook. Shut up,
buddy. Peach trees also run about...
They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs.
Peach trees also
they're eating
run
the pets.
About $50. So they gave out around $15,000 worth of trees.
Poor Haitians.
And I was sitting here thinking...
Poor Haitians.
I was sitting here and I was like, okay, she wanted me to talk about this nice community effort here from Mesquite. No, it turns out she DM'd me after this. Jessica did when she had seen this. Turns out that before this handout was going on, somebody had tweeted or put in a Facebook group, DFW Plant Peeps. They said, 1616 Galloway in Mesquite, go behind the building. There's about 100 peach trees against the fence, about 6 to 8 feet tall and 2 feet diameter for free. They're dry and need water, but they're still alive. The arborist is going to throw them away come Monday morning. Y'all go get them. Apparently, this was not free, but everybody trusted what this guy said. So
I'll be home late, honey.
Right.
They gave away 300 trees, but they had 100 trees stolen over the weekend from somebody saying they're free to grab behind this parking lot over here.
Must be the same people that Jack Bassick's wife, her doctor's
all her,
wife,
exactly all her flowers,
stole
yeah.
her plants.
Dude, I can't, like, I mean, if you're going to steal something, like if you're gonna say like I'm gonna commit a crime here, why would you choose like flowers and like a peach tree?
There must be a flower market in DFW we don't know about, a hot secondary flower market.
Hot secondary market for petunias.
We need to investigate the farmer's market. They're probably running some illegal trades,
having people
go out, make
cash business
behind the scenes.
Running a different kind of farm, probably just a total frontier. Okay, so the fastest growing city in the country is about to get a facelift on their downtown area. I'm going to Salina in my mind. You know the reference, Chop?
It's the it is the fastest growing?
Yeah, but I mean Salina in my mind. That was a Carolina in my mind. James Taylor
That's
reference.
Real,
I'm getting some some automobile responses, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Father-in-law, City of Irving police refused to write a report when it comes to minor accidents. Robert, who works in insurance, motorist claims can hurt your auto insurance rates. I'd be ticked if that kid hit me.
The police are on their way, mofos.
Yeah.
So the city of Salina is going to have a brand new parking and public amenities in its historic downtown. I did not realize this, but yeah, Salina right now is, as of May, the fastest growing city in the United States because you're going to see more and more of this. It's like you're starting to run out of places to expand out to.
You are.
They just keep going more and more. So the USDA or the government has a USDA loan, which they count as rural areas. It's basically a no down payment, zero 0% interest or low interest loan that you can get by moving to what is considered a rural area. If you look at the progression of that map in DFW, like Rockwall used to count it. Now it's way past Rockwall if you want to count that. But Salina getting a whole new downtown area, which I think I might have to visit given what they're going to build up there. They're going to put these rooftop entertainment complexes where you can host parties on the rooftop with all these lights and everything.
I hate to say it, but... Jerry Jones of radio saw it coming, you know, can sell everything, can't win anything, saw it coming a long time ago.
Oh, wow.
But there's a lot of people that I talk to who just talk about Prosper Salina. And I'm like, my gosh.
That's because, you know.
Now, how long is that drive going to be for you, Bob?
It's going to be a little.
Especially with how crappy of a driver you are, you get stopped 3 times going there and back.
That's not accurate. I am a great driver, and I was willing to put it on display for you guys. You didn't take me up on the offer. Ruben did. Ruben saw it.
You want to have a golf cart?
A golf cart race.
Golf cart off, absolutely.
I wonder how far that would be compared to my drive. It's probably about 40 miles.
It's significant. Now, like, you can go straight down the tollway.
That's the easy part of it is, like, you're only. Because Frisco now is such a hub So you're only 15 minutes from like a massive, massive part. It's a new downtown almost.
We're doing the neighborhood watch here on 105 through the Fan. And look, I mentioned just then how I took Ruben in the car last week in Burleson. I went speeding down the road, did a tight little U-turn. And you might be thinking, like, how did you not get pulled over? Well, the cops were a little busy, it looks like. Our friends in Burleson are going to have to look elsewhere for their massages. It's another group has been shut down. Two massage establishments were shut down this week due to human trafficking.
Oh, geez.
Another one. So the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, this is according to Fox 4, issued a six-month emergency closure for Top A Massage and Best Massage, both located in Burleson.
All right. What's the matter with people?
Which people?
The human traffickers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Diddy, by the way, no bail. And they searched his property and found all the ammunition, and a lot of the guns had like the serial number scraped off. That to me was the big thing.
Yeah, yeah, you said ammunition. I thought you meant the 1,000 bottles of baby oil.
Is that what? Is that?
Yeah.
What, no.
Yes.
Thousands of bottles of baby oil
and you know other lubricants.
Whoa! And no bail. He tried to offer
$50 million. He tried to offer $50 million to the judge, and they said no bail. They said, oh, and he's man. Like, I'm not. They said he's not a flight risk. He's selling his planes and everything like that. And he's a very famous guy. Like he probably can't walk down the street and not get recognized, right?
Yeah.
There's a handful of people in the world like that, but still, they're like, no bail.
Yeah. I can't get enough of the coverage to watch him rot.
Oh, I mean, there were a lot of different reports yesterday that were like, there's concern that he's going to be in trouble in prison pretty fast. Like that, there's going to be people. Like yeah. coming for him,
and then like the star power of him versus R. Kelly, like at the times of their arrest, not even close.
Oh, not even close.
Not even close. Not even close.
And like you know, they showed a photo.
Who's the biggest celebrity in jail? Is there anyone even in the stratosphere?
Like, I mean,
biggest celebrity in jail.
Jared Fogle.
All right. Well, we're not even talking on the same planet.
Yeah. And so, like, there's photos circulating of the girl who was, like, his accomplice. That she's the one that
her Epstein assistant?
His Ghislaine Maxwell or whatever?
Yeah. Ghislaine.
It what?
Ghislaine.
Whatever.
Suge Knight. He's in prison.
Yeah. Suge Knight, yeah. But, like, to me, like, the most, like, obviously, Diddy's, like, so disturbing. Like to have a girl who would be one of the people that would be, like, targeted by Diddy to be helping.
Cosby.
God, it's just...
Is he still
Cosby's
in
out.
Yeah,
is he?
He's out, right? Yeah.
I thought he was still in there.
I have no idea what you said.
Nah, Bobby good. We're good, Bobby.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
I was answering the question.
Neighborhood Watch here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Merido in Carrollton. Awesome, incredible setup for the golf action that's going to be taking place this weekend. RJ says that you need to bet on the Ravens to make the playoffs this year. Does that mean he's guaranteeing a Baltimore win Sunday on 105.3 The Fan? Next on DFW Sports Station.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.